you so glad that we serve a God of miracles? I'm so glad that we serve a God of miracles, not just a God that did miracles in the Bible, and not just a God that did miracles back then, and not just a God that only allowed Jesus to do miracles, but a God that allows us to be a part of a miracle each and every day when we decide to walk out and step out in faith. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that your son Jesus said that we would do greater things than he did, and we thank you that we can participate in that each and every day. Father, I pray that as we go through this service today and as we leave, that we would step out in boldness and faith and pray and believe and see miracles done. That we would step up and do the things that you have called us to do. So God, I pray that you would shake us, that you would awaken us, and you would make to our mind understand the empowerment and the authority that you have given us already, and that we would walk in that. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you for clear and open minds and clear and open hearts today. Father, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you to our music team. And as I said earlier, welcome to Sunday Church. And last week we started talking about what? What were we talking about last week? Nobody remembers. Boy, the what? Activating the miraculous. And we talked about the Word. And so, you know, I could have carried on last week and it could have been talking about our authority series we're in November and December. And reality is, that is the life of the believer, is walking in authority. When we walk and live according to how Christ has called us, that's living a life of authority, isn't it? It's not just sitting back with our arms crossed saying, well, somebody will do it. God, you got it, I guess. But it's actually activating the authority and advancing the kingdom by walking and taking the steps that he's called us to do. And today we're going to continue to talk about the Word. And we're going to talk about prayer. And I think one of the things that as a society we are missing is the idea of being thankful. We aren't thankful for the good things around us. I shared on my New Year's Eve Facebook post about how thankful I was for 2020. What a good year it was for our family, there's multiple ways, but health-wise, relationship-wise for each other, spiritually, we grew together. Health-wise, we got a break and a bit of a breather, and it was just a great year. And I think far too many people are like, well, that's one way to look at it. Well, I guess, you know, you brought the positive. But it was a positive, good year, and I want us to continue that mindset. See, we aren't thankful enough for the good things that are around us. We aren't thankful for our friendships and for our families, and we need to look at the blessing and the abundance that we have, and we need to be thankful. As a society, we're missing being thankful. And when you look at New Covenant, praying to practice thanksgiving is all throughout the Word. The Word tells us to be thankful to God, to give thanks, to look. Or if you look up the word thanks or thanksgiving or rejoicing, it's all through the New Testament, isn't it? And if you look at the Old Testament, even there's some New Covenant practices that are even being practiced back then. Gratitude is an inner feeling, but being thankful is an exterior action. Giving thanks is an action. Having a state of gratitude is that internal feeling that you have, but you need to express the action, don't we? I was sharing with my family this week a little bit about 2 Chronicles 20. And there's this guy named King Jehoshaphat. Have you guys ever read about him, heard about him, talked about him? It's great. It's a great story. It's another one of my favorites. I should just probably stop saying this is one of my favorite stories from the Bible because there's so many good stories, right? The whole thing's a great history lesson for us. But King Jehoshaphat, he gets right with God and is steering the country in the right direction. And one day their army scouts come back and they provide the king with a report. that there are three countries who have made an alliance, and they're all coming to conquer the land. And the Bible says they all got together to talk and to pray about what they were going to do. King Jehoshaphat called them together, and every man, every woman, and every child came together. And as they prayed, God told them to put those that sing in the front of the warriors and march in the battle. Not those that sin, those that sing. And I'm sure people like Lyle and Elaine are hoping that they're not stuck next to me for singing. Lyle will put him beside me. He'll take the bullet for Elaine and he'll turn down the hearing aid, right? Yep. But I'd have my tambourine out because I'm going to sing. And I'm going to sing in the battle ahead of the warrior. I'd probably be a warrior. Who am I kidding? But you know what I mean, right? And the Bible says that they said to put the singers, the musicians in front and lead the way into battle, didn't they? So we got our tambourine and we're going into battle. I hope this is coming through in the microphone. That's a great sound. I don't have tassels coming off it, so it's not quite as fun, but you know what I mean. Anyway, who here can sing? All of you can sing. So you got, we're in the front, right? We got our tambourines. We're going to go into battle. Now, that sounds a little crazy. Like, who goes into battle against three strong armies and puts the people that can sing in front of the warriors? Who's crazy enough to do that? God. I'm not saying God's crazy. But you understand, this becomes an impossible feat. Because what army sends their singers in front to win and expect to win? Doesn't happen. But what happened? The Bible says that they praised and they sang and they worshiped God, and that a stunning, amazing, miraculous thing happened. Confusion hit the armies that they're coming against and their soldiers, and two countries turning and destroyed the third country, right? And then what happened? The two countries that were left turned on each other and killed each other off. It's amazing. It's miraculous. Like, come on. They didn't have to lift a finger. And when all this is done, the armies and the singers come across the bodies of the people they were coming to fight, and they just could sit there or stand there and sing. And the story in the Old Testament, according to the book of Chronicles, there is something for us to learn. And when we read the book of Corinthians, we know that there are things to learn in the Old Testament that we can bring into New Testament, New Covenant belief. Because we're in New Covenant times, aren't we? And that means we're under a new deal, right? The old deal isn't applied anymore. It's like if I'm going to Mainline, and if I go to Mainline, and I'm dealing on a car, and then I go back and say, okay, but I want this, 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 and this is all part of the deal now. The new deal is in play. The new deal supersedes the old deal. There are parts of the old deal that we bring into the new deal, but the new deal is the new deal. Do you know it took 3 days for the Israelites to go amongst the battlefield and collect the wealth? Can you imagine how that must have felt? And I remember there's this old song, maybe you know it, maybe to you it's not an old song. But the song is, the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. See, I think far too many believers are still sitting there praying Old Testament prayers in a New Covenant time and wondering why things aren't happening the way they expect. And we need to remember that the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. This victory happened not when they were begging and pleading and crying. This happened when they were praising and worshiping and song and thankfulness and declaring their God was in the middle of this battle and he was giving them victory. This is the type and shadow of a new covenant prayer that they were going in with. And what we base our Christian faith in is crucial, I believe. It's crucial. See, what was Moses' faith based in? What built Moses' faith? Was it stuff like God's words to him, God speaking to him? It was stuff like the burning bush. It was the things that God had spoken. Or maybe Abraham's faith was based on the words that God had given him. And through prophets. And when God spoke to a specific man or woman, that would anchor their faith in their lives, and they would get up and they would do incredible things. And then we come along to the New Testament, where we have Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have Jesus walking around doing miracles, right? He's healing people, he's walking on water, he's calming storms, he'd speak words and send words, and centurion's servants would be healed, right? So what are people anchoring their faith in then? They're anchoring their faith in Jesus and God with us and Emmanuel, right? And they put their faith in things like, as I said, Jesus, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son. And today we anchor our faith in what? Too many Christians are like, I don't know. What's the foundation of our great faith today? It's the finished work of Jesus. It's the cross. It's his death. It's his burial. It's his resurrection. It's his ascension. And when you understand what happened from the cross to the throne, you anchor your faith on the finished work of Jesus. And this is why new covenant prayers are different than old covenant prayers. Old covenant prayers, they would cry. One king was told by a prophet that he would die, and then the king begged and pleaded. And what happened? The prophet came back and said, okay, fine, you get 15 more years. And the Old Testament is full of examples of people getting before God and praying and pleading and begging. And then we have New Covenant Christians who think that this is how we get a hold of God today, is by begging and pleading. And in the New Covenant today, everything has already been given to us. We don't need to sit there and beg and plead and weep and wail and cry, because it's been given to us. A beautiful mind is a thankful mind. It promotes everything because it is a new covenant way to pray. New covenant faith is from a position of, it has been given, I can receive it when I am ready to receive it. I have been qualified for every promise of Scripture. Haven't we? That should be an amen, guys. We've been qualified for every promise of Scripture as believers. But what are we choosing to walk in? 2 Peter 1, 2-4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that the world are in, that is in the world through lust. So he has given us all things pertaining to life. So whatever you need in your lifetime, protection, healing, prosperity, anything you need has already been given to you. You no longer have to ask where and beg and plead, and where God is sitting up there making that choice. We talked about this last year in December. Right? It's not like God is up there with the abacus. Okay, yeah, no, he did this. This equals this. Yeah, no, he's good to go. He gets it. No, he's not up there with the abacus. Every promise is given to us already. It's there. It's available. But too many believers think, well, if I ask God and if it didn't happen, I guess the answer is no. What a sad way to live. And we just read that because he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness, he then goes on to say that the divine promises of the Bible that you're going to receive them. So here's the thing. If God has already given it to me, then why would I have to beg him for it? I don't have to yell and scream and weep and cry. I don't have to jump up and down and stomp my feet. I don't have to give the devil some false authority so I can bind him, because he has been bound and thrown to the pit of hell. I can live with victory. We can live with victory, can't we? We should be, shouldn't we? So how do we pray? The Bible says over and over with thanksgiving. First Timothy 2:1-3 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Thankfulness. Giving thanks. And in Philippians 4:4-9, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about things that are praiseworthy. What are we doing when we're thinking about things that are praiseworthy? What are we doing? We should be giving thanks for them, shouldn't we? We should be praying with thanksgiving. Think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Another great verse. We always need to pray with thanksgiving and live your life thankful. How many of us are living thankful? Or how many of us just want to complain about the weather or complain about this or complain about that? Complain about having to do this or complain about, you know what I mean? You come across people all the time. I talk to people on the phone all the time, and they're like, oh, how you doing? Oh, well, you know, I got this goiter. I don't know what a goiter is, but I got this goiter on my leg. Is that possible? Oh, yeah, I don't know what a goiter is then. I thought it was like a bump or something, but I got this or I got that, and they just want to tell you their complaints. We need to live life with an attitude of thanksgiving. Jesus gave thanks, and then he multiplied food, didn't he? Jesus gave thanks, and then he did miracles. And I believe that thanksgiving creates an atmosphere for miracles. This is New Covenant prayers. New Covenant, Jesus has died, the apostles have gone out to minister, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus ascended to heaven. New Covenant. Things have changed. And Jesus, when he was alive, would say, go your way, your faith has made you whole. But I find it interesting that after John, we didn't hear that term really used again. In the Old Testament, we'd hear things like, thus saith the Lord, right? In the New Covenant, you don't really hear that term once. Because God speaks to each of us directly. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there isn't a need and there isn't a place for prophets and apostles. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God has the ability to speak to each and every one of us. And when we spend time with him, we can listen to his voice, can't we? Each of us. That's New Covenant. This New Covenant that we're talking about is marked by a stunning sense of thankfulness. The New Covenant way of praying with thankfulness because it is already done. We have already received it. We have been given the victory. It's done. Every day we can get up with a purpose and a reason to be thankful. Something I've been doing a lot of lately is I've changed a lot of the way I pray during the day, and I try to pray continually, and I'm not like I'm patting myself on the back. It's something that I've really tried to change in my life the past year or two. And I wake up, and as I prayed this morning, I just thank you, Father, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and made me righteous and whole. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for the promise of healing that is mine, and thank you that, you know, when I had a knee that was bugging me, thank you that my knee is healed in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget the time where I was just praying and thanking God for healing my knee, and because I had really injured it when I was quite young, and I couldn't really even walk. And I was just praying and just believing and just thanking. And I remember a moment, and it was just like that, and I was slain in the spirit, and I fell to the floor, and I was just laying there. And I got up, and my knee was 100% healed, and I was just thankful. And that was the type of prayer that I was praying at that moment in my life. And I really have come to understand that thanksgiving and understanding that we have the healing already, we have the victory, that's what works. And the same thing is true for things like our finances or our business or our work or sales or stuff like that. Thank you, Father. I don't care what everyone around me is telling me or believes. I know that you are God of abundance, and right now, God, I believe that I will get that raise, or I believe that my property is sold. This is a prayer we prayed this summer when nothing was selling on the market. Nobody was buying a lake lot. I called my lawyer when I said, hey, we got a buyer for our lake lot. He's like, no, you don't. Nobody's buying lake lots right now. Don't you know we're in the middle of a pandemic? These guys are fooling with you. Don't believe it. I was like, no, it's done. It's sold. We've got an agreed price. They're going to send you. And he calls me back a couple hours later. You're right. I talked to some lady, and she's sending me the money. She's sending me a check. Who buys a lake lot in the middle of a pandemic? I'm so thankful that I serve a God of abundance, and that isn't bound to rules of this earth. See, we have the favor of God in our lives as believers, don't we? We can walk around with abundance, with prosperity, with focus, with thankfulness, in healing, and not have to be dismayed. We don't have to be sad. We don't have to be confused. We know that we serve a God of abundance, of healing, of wholeness, don't we? And everywhere we go, everything we do needs to be done with thankfulness, and we just need to give him praise and thankfulness and not wonder, is it going to happen? I wonder. Because it's promised. It's in the Word. Because he's already given it to me. He's given me all things pertaining to life, hasn't he? That's what the scripture we just read said. And this idea of giving thanks, it's a stunning way to remember that this is where faith is. Faith is the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, were the words that God spoke to his people. Faith in the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was the Son of God walking physically around the planet. And faith in the New Covenant, or since the cross, the faith is in the finished work of Jesus, that he died and that he gave us all things pertaining to life. And like Peter says, he gave us all these wonderful promises, so that by these we can be a partaker of this divine nature that he has given. So whatever's going on around you, you just need to continue to declare and give thanks and thank him. Declaring the cross, declaring the life it has given you, declaring the promises of his word over your life. Thank you, Father, that Jesus died on the cross. Because of that cross, I am free from the power of sin. I am free from the power of death. I am free from sickness. I am free from poverty. I am free from lack, because you have given me such things of life, abundance, prosperity. You have given me the gift of righteousness, God, and thank you for that. So we don't have to earn righteousness. We don't have to do stuff to be righteous, because we get this free gift of righteousness. And praying in a thankful attitude of already having it, because it's already ours. This type of prayer is tremendously powerful. When you're praying, are we thanking him that our family is blessed? Are we thanking him for our amazing spouse or our amazing kids? Or maybe if you're a kid, are you thanking him for your amazing future spouse? Are you thanking him for your kids being a blessing to you? Are you thanking him that your kids are going to have no lack and they're going to live in abundance? That's how we should be praying, shouldn't we? Are we thanking him for our finances? That we don't have to be afraid of where our next meal is going to come from or where something's going to go? Are we thanking him for the abundance and the blessings he has poured out on us? New covenant prayers. It's not begging. It's not pleading. It's thanking him for his promises. That is the new covenant believer's way. We are already qualified people. We don't need to beg. I'm so tired of begging. We need to declare promises. See, the thing is, we're not declaring these promises on our own. We are declaring them from a position of strength. The promises are ours through Christ, through the cross. The promises are ours, and we need to be thanking Him for it. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When Jesus died on the cross, every disease, every sickness, every piece of lack, everything, we were healed, we were whole, we were sozoed because of Jesus' death and resurrection. It was bought and paid for when Jesus died on that cross. When Jesus died on that cross and rose again, that promise of protection was made real for you and me. So why doesn't it happen? Is a common question I've been asked. I've heard people say it all the time. Well, why doesn't it happen then, Dave? See, this grace that is found in Ephesians 2:8, it has to be believed. It has to be received, and it has to be acted upon. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Grace works by faith. We need to believe in the finished work of the cross, don't we? The cross finished the work for us. The cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus, His ascension to the right hand of the Father. Jesus qualifies me for every promise because He died for my sins and He gave me this gift of righteousness. And when we understand and fully grasp the gift that He has already given to us and that we don't have to fight and beg for it, when thankfulness begins to flow because we know that we have already been given it. Thankfulness and being thankful, praising God, thanking God, will bring such health to your mind that in the midst of any problem going on around you and those struggles that the world might try to throw at you, you don't even need to blink at them because they don't affect you. We are walking above that, aren't we? Some of you want to walk in it, I guess. You know what I mean? We don't have to walk in it. We can walk without stress and without fear. Our entire family, and I'm not saying this to brag about my family, but I like to brag about my family because they're amazing. But our family has changed our life based on how we pray and experience and expect the fullness of what God has already promised us in His Word. When we're praying and we need to pray for something, doesn't matter if it's me, Stacy, Ella, Seth, Cohen, Nora. Did I miss a kid? Kayla. It doesn't matter because we all know we all stand on the same word and we stand in the promises of Scripture that are already there for us and we just thank God that we're receiving it. See, in the midst of any problem or struggle, we can rise up, can't we? We can walk in faith. We can walk in boldness. We can walk with authority. Why? Because you know that God is on the throne and that Jesus, who died for your sins, died to give you an eternal life, is sitting at His right hand. Amen? So we can live with confidence, and we can walk with boldness, and we can walk with authority. See, we know that Jesus died to give us eternal life, right? We know that. But eternal life is not just about length of life. Did you know that? You probably do. You guys are all a smart crew. Eternal life isn't just about forever life. It's about a good life. How do I know that? Because the word eternal is length, but the word life here is actually zoha, which means the life of the person giving it. That's what that means. So you have a life, forever life, that is forever, but it's a life of Jesus. So when Jesus rose from the dead and gave us eternal life, he gave us his life. He gave us the things that are of him, the Son of God. This is why the cross and his death and his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, these four things that Jesus died, that Jesus did, are so important for us, which was revealed in the Apostle Paul by the Apostle Paul by, or revealed to the Apostle Paul by Jesus. And we need to get a clear understanding of this. We need to know it. We need to understand eternal life because of Jesus' life that he has given us. It's not like Joe died and he gave me his life. Jesus died, the Son of God, the risen Son of God, God's only begotten Son. He died, rose again, and gave me his life forever. We need to understand that. Too many people are living with the ifs. I think the ifs are one of the worst sicknesses plaguing our churches today. Sorry if that was loud. Things like, if you fulfill this, if you do this, God will do that. If you just walk a little closer to him, he'll do it. No, it's not based on the ifs of what you do. It's based on what he's done. It's already been given. It's not if I do that or if I do this. I don't know where that verse is in the Bible, but why so many people try to quote it, the ifs. We don't just throw it in a box and shake it up and see how to approach a situation, do we? How do we approach situations? Do you want me to dance too? Because we're going in with victory, and we're singing his praise and thanksgiving, and we're singing it not just because we're going to know the words and see the words. Okay, give joy to the Lord. But we're going in because we know we have the victory because it's already been given to us. Amen? We have been given the victory. We can go forward with full confidence, with boldness, with thanksgiving, with authority, because everything I need has already been paid for and given to me. But am I going to walk in it? It's not about arrogance. It's not about demanding. It's about receiving what's already been given to us. And as we practice thankfulness and as we receive what has been given to us, we'll begin to grow and move into a level of faith and believing into receiving these things, and they will just begin to flow in our lives, and we don't have to walk with the what ifs. We don't have to walk with the, well, if only, but we can walk with the, I have received victory through Jesus' death, resurrection, burial, ascension. I got those backwards. You know what I mean, though. I've received it. I've received sozo. I've received healing. I've received abundance and authority. I've already received it. It's not what if. I've got it. But are we walking in it? We need to walk in it, people. We need to walk. We need to live it out, and we need to believe. And as we pray, I want us to remember that we need to be thankful that we've already received it. Thankful prayers. And that's the difference, I really believe, is thankful prayers. Because when thankful prayers, when we're praying thankfully for the things that we know we've already received, do you say thank you before you get the coffee crisp? Or do you get the coffee crisp and say thank you? What do you say? You say thankful when you get the coffee crisp, don't you? Unless you don't like coffee crisp. Then maybe it's the Smarties. But you say thank you when you get it, right? Well, you've already gotten it, so why are we not saying thank you? We've already received. We just need to say thank you. And if you don't like any chocolate bar, then I don't know what's wrong with you. Just kidding. But you know what I mean, right? We need to receive it and just be thankful and know that it's already ours. And that the victory is ours. And we don't have to wait in the what ifs. And we just need to say thank you to Jesus. I'm going to invite the music team up, and we're just going to pray. I think that was a really short message to give us time to just reflect on that. And we're going to, here in the church, after we close out in prayer, we're going to give, if you want a moment to be prayed for, we'd invite you to come up. But if you're watching us online today and you'd like to be prayed with, just message us, message me on Facebook. There's the phone number there. You can call the church. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you. And I'd love to give you an opportunity right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to invite him into your heart, to get to know him. Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe you did this one time when you were at camp or whatever. But you want to get to know Jesus in a new and real way. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer after me. And then we're going to connect afterwards. But this prayer is just the starting point. It's not the finish line. It's the starting point of something great. Of walking in his promises. Of walking in victory. So if you're interested in saying this prayer, and those of you that are here in this room, would you just repeat after me as well, just in case that someone around you doesn't know Jesus, that way people feel comfortable doing it, and they're not like, I'm the only one. So would you repeat after me? And if you're saying this prayer for the first time, please connect with me after. Would you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place and to bring me victory. And take every punishment and curse. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now free. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. And from today on, I'm following you. Thank you for your victory and promises and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, connect with me. There's so much more. This is just the tip. This isn't the end point. Like I said just before we prayed, you need to connect. We need to talk. I want to give you a Bible, and we just need to pray together, and I need to talk to you about a bit of this journey that you're on. We're going to close in prayer right now. Would you stand with me, actually, guys? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross, to give us life, eternal life, his life. God, we thank you that we can walk with abundance, we can walk with authority, we can walk in your promises of your word. That we don't have to be stuck with stinking thinking, and we can live with abundance and victory on our mind at all times. That we don't have to live a life of the what ifs, but we can live a life with the I am, with you. So God, we thank you. We thank you for the victory you bring us. We thank you for the life you've given us. Father, we pray that you would, if any one of us is struggling with this idea or you know, living with the doubt that this might not be, Father, I pray that you would shake them to their core. Shake them to their roots, Father, so that they would step in with you and just get to know you and your heart for us, your people. God, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a good week.